So let me ask you guys something. I want you to really think about this. Some of you may have seen I had a board out there with a bunch of pictures. That's what you see if you go into a funeral home and there's boards of pictures of the person who's deceased and it tells their life story. And so I put that together out there to kind of lead you guys into this. And so let me ask you this. If you have one picture, just one, from all the pictures you've had taken in your life, which picture would you choose to put up there for everybody to remember you by? One picture. Think of all the pictures you've had, of all the photographs of yourself. Now listen, I know the teenagers in here have a lot more to choose from with the selfies and everything, but for the rest of us who grew up in that era, we went from black and white film to color film to digital. I picked a few out as examples. Zach's going to put up in a couple of seconds here. It's okay to laugh at these. I picked them out. They're meant to be funny, so it's okay to laugh at these. I asked all the teens, by the way, in the photos that I'm going to show you guys, I asked all the kids if I could use this particular picture, and so they all said yes. I get their permission. The adults are kind of on their own. You get, it is what it is. But so here's a couple of the responses I got as I sent these pictures around and thing. One of the ones you're going to see is going to be Caroline and Sabrina. And I sent it to Ann and asked her if it was okay to use. And the response I got back is, so I guess you're going to talk about the offspring of cool moms. But Olivia had the best response, Olivia Humes. I was talking to Liv the other day, and we were back and forth on Facebook just a little bit, and told her I like how fun she is. She's always fun. When I point a camera at her, she's always animated and things. And she hit it right on the head. She said, you know, life is just better when you're having fun. And so it is. And so, Zach, if you could put up a picture for me, please. These are ones I picked for last pictures of people. If this is Barb's last picture, this would be the one. Okay, next one, Zach. Here's Scott with his bouquet of flowers. He's pointing at the middle flower here. You can't see it real well here, but this is for Caroline's senior night. And the middle flower here is actually a basketball. It's made out of basketball material. Okay, go ahead, Zach. Yeah, pretty self-explanatory. Sorry, Caroline and Allison. But they've been recreating this picture for, like, since I've known them, by the way, every year at prom. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, this is Tracy in the background here, trying to get in a picture. Go ahead, Zach. Yeah, even heading out to the, was this prom or homecoming? This is homecoming. So if this was Caroline's last picture and Sabrina's last picture. Now, I get it with Sabrina. It kind of sums Sabrina up, right? You guys that know her. Okay, go ahead, Zach. Now, you have to understand the picture here. The kids of the people in this picture are standing next to them, and I took a picture, and they're all like, and then I turned the camera to the adult. Just automatically all went to this. Okay, go ahead, Zach. This is Olivia. This is the other night at the game. And by the way, these guys, about 45 minutes we hung around after the game that night, and it's just tremendous seeing these kids just being kids and just enjoying life and just having fun being young, because you don't see that in society too much anymore. We want these people to grow up so fast. But it was awesome seeing you guys just having fun. Okay, go ahead, Zach. Yeah, this is pretty much, I'm just happy that Brenda's usually the one covering her face too. She's like, no. Veronica's, you know. Okay, go ahead, Zach. Here's Veronica. I want to get a picture of all you guys. She's like, okay, but I'm not going to stop eating. Okay, go ahead. This is the other night after the game, too. This is Megan. I don't know what Megan was doing. She just started dancing out in the middle of the court. So. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, this is Zach sneaking into the picture here. I think Hunter actually goes over to Abby's house so him and Zach can hang out and pick at each other, and, right? Okay, go ahead. I don't know how many. Yeah, I'm not real sure what's going on here. Nicole and Abby, you want to explain this? I think we were at VBS last year, And they were saying a Bible verse, and the kids had to yell out different ways to say the Bible verse. And somebody said, if you were a fish underwater, and I go, any more, Zach? I don't know how many I gave you. That's it? Okay. So these are last pictures that people might want to choose to put up so that people can remember. But here's the thing. One day, all of us are going to be the ones in the coffin. Every one of us. And when you arrive, that person's life is going to be summed up in a bunch of photographs on a board. And that's what our life comes down to, just a bunch of pictures. Recently, this great quote was attributed to Billy Graham. It made the rounds when Billy Graham passed. Someday you're going to read in the papers that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I will be more alive than I am now. Dwight Moody actually coined that phrase, and Billy Graham borrowed it from him. But those are men who knew the truth of the situation, that this life is not all there is. Romans 14:8. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. We've done similar sermons before, but I think we need a reminder every now and again, and especially in the last few weeks. I know Cheryl has buried her dad, and Michelle has buried her mom, and Brittany has buried her young cousin. Was he 20 years old? You know, we think the Bible says tomorrow's not guaranteed to us, but it actually does not say that. What it says is live for today because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And so that's good advice from our Lord. But the thing is, even as Christians, we tend to look at life as this is all there is. And we live for the moment. But the Bible makes it quite clear that the life we're living now is less than a one raindrop in the ocean. This isn't all there is. This is just a prelude to all there is. Note the wording of the opening verse here. Whether we live, we belong to Jesus. And if we die, we go to Jesus. We go right home to Christ, faster than time can measure. Scripture says it happens faster than the twinkling of an eye. We went over that a couple weeks ago. But here's the thing. The instant you take your last breath here, you take your first breath in heaven, if you're a child of God. The instant. It's instantaneous. Just like that. It's hard for us to fathom that because we want to know, where's the beginning? Where's the end? How does this happen? Fortunately, I hope you guys have too, move beyond that with God. I don't need to know how it happens. I just need to believe that it happens. And I hope you guys get that too. Some religions teach things. You know, how do we know that's true, Brian? I mean, these are just words from a pastor. How do we know that once we pass from this life, we immediately go into the presence of Christ? How do we know that? Some religions and some denominations don't believe that. They teach things like soul sleep, where we're just asleep in the ground. Or purgatory. Neither of these ideas is even hinted at in the Bible, by the way. Soul sleep is simply the belief that when we die, we're in a state of unconsciousness until Jesus comes to judge us and send us to either heaven or hell. Nothing like that in the Bible at all. Purgatory, on the other hand, and these come from Catholic websites, by the way, purgatory is a place believed to hold people who aren't bad enough to go to hell, but not good enough to get into heaven. And so they go to purgatory to get a cleansing of the soul before they're allowed into heaven. Now think about that teaching for a second. You're not good enough to get into heaven, so you're going to go down here to purgatory and pay your dues and everything until God thinks you're ready enough to take up to heaven. Let me ask you something. If that's true, why did Jesus hang on a cross? Why did he have to die for our sins? If that wasn't sufficient, if that wasn't enough to save our souls and to get us into heaven, then what was the purpose of Christ hanging on a cross? That teaching is not just wrong, it's blasphemous to Christ. Pastor Joe Giglio, we must note here that your soul never dies. There is no such thing as soul sleep, and there is no purgatory. Paul makes it clear that to be gone from this world is to be present with Christ. Listen, sure, I met your dad. I have no doubt that he's home with Christ. No doubt. And Brenda's mom and Barb's husband. And I met these guys and I know where they are. They're home with Jesus Christ. So what happens to a Christian when they die? 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we've used this for a little bit for our rapture verses, but it applies not just to the rapture of the whole church, it applies to us as believers if we pass from this world. We do not want you to be uninformed. Some versions use ignorant, which is a great word, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. The first thing, as Paul says here, is don't be uninformed about this. Don't be ignorant about this. I want you to get this. In other words, he's saying, I want you to understand this truth. Get this. Do not be uninformed. This is truth that I'm teaching you guys. I want you guys to get this. The next thing he tells us is that the departed believer is asleep. The New Living Translation, I think, is the only one that substitutes the word asleep for die, those who died. That's an incorrect translation, because die, in the sense that it's used there, refers to the body. Sleep refers to the soul. And it's always used to describe Christians, never non-Christians. Whenever the Bible talks about Christians, it talks about them being asleep. And David rested with his fathers. And Solomon rested with his fathers, so on and so forth. Okay, Christians always are referred to as falling asleep. So is Paul talking about soul sleep? Sleep here and everywhere else in the Bible, again, is used in the context of death, refers to your spirit, your soul, not the physical body. Now, look at the last thing Paul says. Christians, you want the world to see a difference? What's the last thing he says? So that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Is Paul saying it's not okay to be sad, it's not okay to cry, and it's not okay to be down? Nope. Not what he's saying at all. Listen, there's people without hope. If you know that your loved one, listen, this is the crux of the whole sermon here. If you know that your loved one died, and they didn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, listen, you are never, never, never going to see that person again. Never. Never. Now, here's where it gets sad for those who are left behind, those who are living. Okay? By the way, it doesn't say they have a little hope. It says they have no hope. Okay? So here's the thing about us that are living. When we die, are your kids going to know if you were saved or not? Are your parents going to know if you were saved or not? Or are they going to have to wonder, you know, I think they were saved. They went to church a lot. I hope they were saved. Because that's what it's going to come down to for everybody in this room. Are the ones we love who have left this world, are they in heaven? Are they in the ground? Are they in purgatory? Are they in Hades? Are they in heaven? If you listen to Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Buddhists, Catholics, they're not in heaven. As an example, Catholicism teaches that a select few who are really good on earth get to go right to heaven. But most need to be cleansed in purgatory. Again, these are from the Vatican and other Catholic websites. So they're picking and choosing, yeah, that person was really good. So they got to get right to heaven. Let me ask you something. Their problem is Mark 10:18 and parallel verses in Luke and Matthew. Did I give you that one, Zach? I may not have. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." So we have the Catholics choosing Who's good enough to get to heaven? And the Bible says nobody is. So how does a church pick and choose who's really good enough to get to heaven? And Catholics aren't the only one. They're just the most obvious out there one. Excuse me. Here's the good news. When we come to Jesus, okay, the Bible says no one's good and no, not one. But when we come to Jesus, he declares that we're good. We are good enough to make it into heaven. We're made righteous. We're made ready to enter into the presence of God and to live in the presence of God for all eternity. That's not us. Nothing we can do to get to that point. Nothing. We're not righteous, but the blood of Christ declares us righteous. Righteous is to be right with God. Even though God alone is good, the blood of Christ covers our bad and allows us into his presence. So how do we know? Does the Bible really teach that? I mean, if the Catholics and the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Muslims and the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Scientologists and the humanists, and they all teach something different from what the Bible teaches about this, can billions of people be wrong? And the answer is yes. Not only can they be wrong, they are wrong. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Look carefully. Okay, look at the words here. According to the Lord's word, this is Paul talking. He's saying, I got this right from the mouth of God himself. According to the Lord's word, we're not going to get to heaven before those who have fallen asleep. What do we talk about? Falling asleep. We're not talking about the body. We're talking about the spirit, the soul. We're not going to get to heaven before them. Why? Because they're already there. If Jesus comes right now, we're going to go up and meet our loved ones who have passed. The rest of the verse says, if he would happen to come for his church today, and he might, we're not going to get to heaven before our loved ones because they're already in heaven with Jesus. That's what the Bible says, and that's what the Bible teaches. You know, here's the truth of the matter. Here's the truth. There is very, 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 very little benefit to being a Christian in this world. Very little. You get put down, laughed at, scorned, rejected, taken to court, spit on. There's very little good to being a Christian in this world. But listen, our reward's not in this world. See, the difference comes when we transfer from this world to the next world. Christians go up and non-Christians go down. The retirement benefits are out of this world, as they say. And look at Paul. He adds a word here, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. It's a done deal. It's a given. Your loved ones are already with Jesus. It's as sure as the day is long. And Paul wants to make sure that you know that that is a certainty. How much is in that one little verse? I love watching Investigation Discovery. Anybody watch that? It drives my family crazy. One brave person, right? Love watching it. Drives my family, my wife and my daughter. Kaylin's in her, goes to her room for a computer, and Barb picks up her iPad, and not another show about somebody getting killed. I like watching the shows because the bad guys get caught. Justice always prevails and right wins. The thing is that the show, and we've said this before too, the show always ends with the same thing, every show. It has the family members crying for the murder victim and has a picture of the murder victim up on the TV. So I'm watching this a couple weeks ago, and the mom says it's been several years since her daughter was murdered, and so the mom has moved on, and mom says, I'll see her one day in heaven. And then she laughs and says, yeah, at least I hope there's a heaven. How'd you like to live your life like that? Because a lot of us do. What a terrible way to go through life. Not knowing what happens when you die and not knowing what happens to your loved ones when they die. I've been here 4 years now. How many people in this church have we buried loved ones for in that 4 years? How many? almost everybody in this church. So the question I get a lot is, and we talked about this a little bit, why did God let them die? Right? When Brittany's cousin was in a car crash, 20 years old. Why did God let him die? They're so young. Or some variation of those things. The simple answer is found in Romans 6:23, any version. Sorry. For the wages of sin is death. That's it. Why do we die? That's it. See, we weren't meant to die. We were meant to live forever in paradise. God would come down and hang out with us and walk with us in the cool of the day. That's how we were created. But we loved our sin more than we loved God. And so God said that the penalty for the crime against God, which is what sin is crime against God, and the penalty for that, the price to be paid, is death. Sin costs us our lives. It has to be atoned for. It has to be paid for. That's why we die. Romans 5:12, Amplified Bible. If you guys never read the Amplified Bible, it's a really fun version to read. The stuff in parentheses was added by the publishers, but it kind of explains the verses a little bit. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, by the way, who's that one man? Sorry. Adam. We like to blame Eve. God blames the man. As sin came into the world through one man, and death as a result of sin, so death spread to all men. And then this is what the Bible adds, no one being able to stop it or to escape its power, because all men sin. All. So because all men sin, all men must die. We die because of sin. That's why we leave this life, guys. There is no escaping the penalty of sin, which is death. There is no escaping it. Except by the blood of Christ. There's two things that evolution cannot answer, ever. Where did we come from? Where do we go? Evolution can't answer those things. But people in this room who buried loved ones, we still grieve and we still hurt and we still wonder why. And you just want to know, are they okay? Where are they at now? Buddhists and Hindus and Scientologists believe you're reincarnated as other living things. For Hindus, it's a cow. I want to walk the streets of India and ask him where the nearest Texas Roadhouse is. Muslims, Mormons, and others believe you go to purgatory. And they believe this falsehood also, that you can pray dead people into heaven. Wrong. It is appointed to each person one time to die, and then comes the judgment. The Bible says. Jehovah's Witnesses, you know why Jehovah's Witnesses go around, and we've joked about this, and they believe only 144,000 people are getting into heaven, and they get that verse from the book of Revelation, is it chapter 6, I think? 144,000 from each of the 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so they go through, and Jehovah's Witnesses, by the way, believe they are the lost tribes of Israel. That's why they teach this. They think that Christ, that things, they got messed up over in Israel, and so God sent Joseph Smith with his followers over here to Utah. By the way, it first was in Akron, Ohio, and then it went up to Wisconsin, and they got kicked out of those places. They were sure that's where God wanted them to build their temple. And they got kicked out of all those places and finally ended up out in Utah where the people accepted them. I don't know what kind of prophet they're following when he's wrong here and he's wrong here. But this is what they believe. But anyway, they look over the next verse that says, besides these 144,000, There were so many people from every other tribe and language and nation under heaven that I couldn't count them all. They completely gloss over that verse. But what they believe is that if you're one of the 144,000, you're in heaven. If you're a good person, you get to continue living on earth. Most people just cease to exist anymore. That's what they believe. They have no hope of ever seeing the people they love again. So how about us? Are we going to see our loved ones again? Dads, moms, sons, daughters, grandparents, are we going to see them again? Are we going to recognize them? The Bible says, in 2 Corinthians 5:8, yes, we are fully confident. Does Paul have a doubt in his mind here? I am fully confident, absolutely assured. We would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then what? What happens the second you take your last breath on earth? We are confident that we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then, right at that instant, we will be at home with the Lord. Paul's words, not Brian's. He's addressing believers here. He said that when we leave these earthly bodies, we will immediately be at home with Jesus. And he has absolute confidence in this statement. Now, if Paul believed it, and he was there, and he met Jesus, who am I to teach something other than what he says right there? Paul's writings. Now, people use these verses to say we're still in the ground until Jesus comes back. And so let's see if we're right. Paul, once again, in Philippians 1, 21 to 23. For to me, living means living for Christ. For me, Brian, living is the best thing ever. You know why? Because I could teach you guys about Jesus. And there is nothing better in the world, trust me on this, there is nothing better in the world than teaching people what the Bible says and teaching people about Christ. Nothing. It is the greatest honor and privilege in the world. And that's what Paul's saying here. You know, I really want to stick around because I have so much to teach these people. But, look, if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I'm torn here. I really don't know what I want to do, because if I stick around, I could teach this, but I just want to go home and be with Jesus, which is better for me. He's saying, if I stay, it's better for you. If I die, it's better for me. That's what Paul's saying. Now, if Paul thought he was just going to lay around in the ground in purgatory or in soul sleep for thousands, millions of years, however long it's going to be, why would Paul say, you know, I'd really like to get out of this world. I'd really just like to be down there and hole in the ground and nothing to do. And is that what he says? I just want to go and be with Christ. He wants to go home. These are deep struggles that Paul had. So the question begging to be asked is, if Paul thought he'd die and just be a hole in the ground, why would he be in a hurry for that? Cracks me up, and I know, and I'm not making fun of anybody that does these things. We get grave blankets and all that stuff. Listen, they're not there. Nobody's cold. They're not there. Are the saved people still in Hades? Ephesians 4, 8 and 9, in opposite order. We're going to do verse 9 first. In my printer. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth. By the way, almost all Bible scholars believe that hell, Hades, all those things are in the middle of the earth. The Bible always talks about Christ or descending into the earth, or people going down into the earth, into the middle of the earth. It's almost universally accepted by Bible scholars that that's where Hades is, where hell is. This is describing... Did I miss a lot of verses? I'm sorry. What does it mean except that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? You know what's going on here? This is the 3 days between the cross and the empty tomb. Jesus isn't just laying around in the ground, twiddling his thumbs, saying, well, let's see, it's been 24 hours and 39 seconds 23 hours and 40 seconds, 23 hours and 41 seconds. Jesus isn't just laying around counting time. He's down in Hades, taking all the Old Testament believers and freeing them. Okay, Jesus is resurrected, so he can now do this. Up until this time, he couldn't do this. So he goes down to Hades, and he brings all the Old Testament, David and Solomon and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Daniel, and he takes all these people up to heaven, sends them up to heaven. That's what he was doing during that 3 days between the cross and the empty tomb. Matthew tells us right from Jesus' mouth. Matthew 12:40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, wasn't a whale, by the way, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in where? The heart of the earth. Where do people think hell is? In Hades, middle of the earth. Where'd Jesus go for that 3 days? In the heart of the earth. Back to Ephesians 4:8. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to the people. Some believe that this doesn't necessarily mean that he went to Hades to take the Old Testament believers with him. But there's no getting around verse 9 that says he ascended and brought back captives with him, which we've already read. So here we are, Old Testament believers, Hades. Jesus dies on the cross, goes down to Hades, preaches the good news to them, gives them gifts. That's the gift. It's a gift of God, the good news, the gospel. Jesus went down into the earth, gave gifts to those who were there. That's the gospel. And then set captivity free, sent them up to heaven. Okay? When we die, if you're saved, you go right to heaven. Romans 8:38. I'm convinced that neither what? Neither death nor life will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, listen. That is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's those who are saved. We're not a universal covered, everybody gets to go to heaven free, get out of hell free card here. Those who are in Christ Jesus, this applies to. Listen, not anything in life, not bad grades, not losing your job, not having a bad day, or your car breaking down, or none of that stuff can separate you from Jesus. He still loves you. No matter how bad your day is, he still loves you. But look, it goes more than that. Neither can death separate us from Christ. Nothing can separate us from Christ. Nothing. Here's the thing. We've said this before. It is not sin that keeps you out of heaven. It's not sin that keeps you out of heaven. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if it's sin that keeps you out of heaven, in the Bible, God bless you, and the Bible says, all of us have sinned. How do we get to heaven? So what keeps you from eternal life with Christ in heaven? What keeps us from that? If it's not sin that sends us to hell, then what is it? It's a self-centered refusal to admit that we're sinners. We're lost. We're helpless. And we're hopeless. To admit that you are not good enough to earn salvation. What keeps you out of heaven and what sends you to hell is a refusal to accept the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That's what sends you to hell. It's not the sin, it's refusing the remedy for that sin. Jesus already paid the penalty for our sin. Not bowing before Jesus is what sends you to hell. But listen, you can escape eternal punishment. You can escape that. Here's the thing. I think as I've gone to funerals and I talk to people, I think most people are way more concerned about those who have died than they are about themselves. But we're all going to die. We're all going to be there. Listen, you only have one chance of ever seeing your loved ones again. One. And that's to accept Christ for who he is. You have to be saved, born again. And we use those words a lot. What are we saved from? We're saved from the penalty of sin. We're saved from death. We're saved from the lake of fire. When is that perfect, fearless, sinless, sorrowless, painless life begin? It begins the instant you take your last breath here. And the instant the person you love takes their last breath here. Here's the thing. David, if you pass today, your daughters absolutely know you're going to heaven. Do they know? Penny, if you pass today, does Mitch absolutely know you're going to heaven? Barbara, if Caitlin passed today, do you absolutely know she's going to heaven? Do you know it? Well, listen, are the people you leave behind going to be at your funeral talking to me and going, you know, I think they were saved. They were a good person. They were nice. They never hurt anybody. That's great, but none of that stuff gets you into heaven. None of it. There's only one thing that gets you into heaven, only one thing, and that's Christ. That's it. Listen, do you want your kids? Do you want your parents? Do you want your grandparents? Do you want them wondering for the rest of their lives? Do you want them wondering? I know people who do this. We struggle with this, Barbara and me. We struggle with this. You know, I hope they were saved. I hope that person was saved, but I just don't know. Listen, you are going to struggle with that for the rest of your life if you don't know. And so are your parents, and so are your kids. So this is your chance. This is your chance to make it right. In front of your kids, in front of your parents, young people, to come down here and fall on our faces before Christ and admit that we're a sinner and say, I need you to be my Lord and Savior. And I want the world to know it because I don't want my kids doubting that when I die. And I don't want my mom and dad doubting that if I die. Horrible thing to live with that doubt, guys. Anybody brave enough to come down and give it up to Jesus? You're just going to let people wonder. Logan was 20 years old. Thought he had his whole life in front of him. And people wonder, was he saved? I don't know if he was saved or not. There's no get out of hell free cards unless you know Jesus. Listen, don't end up as nothing more than a picture in front of a casket. Because that's what our lives are going to come down to. John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live. Even after dying, they're still alive. They're more alive than ever. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. And then Jesus closes with a question. Do you believe this? Listen, because if you believed what we've talked about here today, and your family members don't know if you're saved or not, you need to make that clear to them. You need to be prepared to come down here next week, the week after, today, and make sure that everyone in your family and everyone that you love knows that you belong to Jesus Christ. Because listen, I've seen the aftermath. And it's not a pretty thing. And it is a horrible, horrible thing for family members to live with. I hope they were saved. I love you guys.